form and engage the bride of Christ. To stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom, we recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Dr. June Knight, I'm so excited to be with you again on this Wednesday night. Listen, we are 1 week away from Thanksgiving. This is the Thanks Holidays. Amen. So tonight, on behalf of We Are the Bride Radio, I just want to say thank you for listening to our broadcast, for supporting the vision of unity in the bride, and highlighting all these wonderful ministers across the globe, people that have taken their cross, paid the price to preach the gospel, and for us to be able to put it on the platform, give them a platform, put it out on the airwaves. I just want to thank the Lord for it tonight. And yes, we are in the very beginning stages. We've almost been together a year now, but God is going to bring the increase. Amen. We just became legal. Everything is set up now for us to go in full force, and we're so excited about it tonight. And I would like to introduce to you a minister in Nashville, Tennessee, and his name is Pastor Montaigne McDonald. How you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Now, you're the pastor of King Solomon Missionary Baptist Church, correct?
Correct.
And you're like right in downtown Nashville, right?
Yeah, we're right by what they call the Buena Vista. We're in the Buena Vista area, right across from Germantown, a historic Germantown area of North Nashville.
Got you. Well, I'm going to read your bio, and then I'm going to ask if you would be transparent with the bride and share a little bit more. Pastor Mike McDonald preaches and teaches the Word of God with conviction and passion. Pastor McDonald is the grandson of the legendary Reverend Dr. Morgan Babb, the founder of King Solomon Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor McDonald has been in ministry since 1992, a former broadcaster at WMDV. Pastor McDonald has always been a part of ministering God's Word in some capacity, whether it is teaching, preaching, motivational speaking, publishing, advocating against mental health stigmas, or life, relationship, marriage, ministry, coaching. Working on his BA in psychology, Pastor Montaigne McDonald is a certified life coach. Sir, I tell you what, we need you in our ministry, amen. Being broadcasting and publishing, amen.
Hey, to God be the glory.
Yes, to God be the glory. Now listen, please tell us, we know that God takes us from nothing and turns us into something. So what is the story of Mr. McDonald?
Well, Not a elaborate story, but I know as a young man, my grandfather, who, again, was the pastor and the founder of King Solomon Missionary Baptist Church, he introduced me to broadcasting when I was 16 years old. I was in high school at Hunters Lane Comprehensive High School here in Nashville.
I knew you went there.
Oh, okay. I love that school. I was actually in the freshman class. We were the first freshman class of Hunter's Lane when they
And my
opened the door.
daughter cheered there too.
I love that school. That's my alma mater. Well,
Oh.
I was going to run track there, and I went out for the track team, and I found out that I got accepted to be part of the track team. Well, right after I found out I made the track team, I got a phone call from my grandfather, who at the time was the owner and operator of WMDB Radio here in
Oh,
Nashville.
wow.
And he asked me if I wanted to be a DJ at his radio station.
Yeah.
And so I was given the choice because of the hours he wanted me to work. Do I run track or do I become a disc jockey at 16 years old? And so
Right.
I chose to go ahead and have my first job as a disc jockey at a radio station. So my grandfather introduced me to broadcasting then, and
Oh.
it's funny how that worked out
It
because
is.
he introduced me and mentored me in broadcasting, and then later on in life he mentored me as a pastor.
Oh, what an awesome legacy.
Amen.
Well, I was looking at your definition of your church. Listen to this, Brad. King Solomon Missionary Baptist Church is a church whose mission is to reach out to the community armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We seek to make a change in our community by showing the love of Christ to our community. Founded by the legendary Reverend Dr. Morgan Babb, King Solomon began its mission December 31st, 1965, and
Yep.
has been going strong ever since. That's awesome. Now,
Amen.
under the leadership of Pastor Montaigne McDonald, King Solomon will forever build upon the legacy Dr. Babb began. KSMBC seeks to minister to the whole man, mind, body, and soul by offering outreach programs that focus on man's mental, physical, and spiritual needs. Wholeness is our goal, that we may be able to live the abundant life that God assures us. Wow. He has a really good vision for that church.
Yeah, the Lord has truly put us on a path to reach out to those who are unable to help themselves.
Yeah.
And this is a ministry, or should I say, this is a goal and a mission that I've had even before I pastored King Solomon, because I actually pastored another church before King Solomon. It was a church that I founded. By the name of Seed of Abraham Ministries.
Oh
And
man, that's an awesome name.
amen. God gave that to me because he wanted me to make sure that I let the people know
Yeah.
that there was a mission that was given to Abraham, and that through his seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And
Right.
so that's where seed started. And I was there, pastoring there for 12 years until my grandfather got sick, and then we merged our church with his church,
Oh.
and we became then King Solomon Missionary Baptist Church. And some of the things that we're doing, we want to make sure that we reach out to the community, because there's a lot going on within the Nashville area, and not even
Yes,
just the
I
Nashville
know it.
area, but even in throughout the country, where there's so much going on, so much change, and it seems like those who are unable to help themselves are the ones who's being swept under the rug, the ones who's being forgotten. And so it's important for us to make sure that we reach out to those who feel like that there's no help.
Now,
And so
what does
we've been,
your church do as far as outreach to help that problem?
as of right now, we have a couple of outreach ministries going on, but the one that is closest, nearest, and dearest to my heart is the missionary ministry.
Oh, what is
And that,
that?
Well, actually, it's something that God gave me when I first stepped in as the pastor. Let me just kind of give you the story.
Okay.
As I was pastoring, I found out that we were taking up during our services that we were, excuse me, receiving two different offerings. There was a missionary offering.
Yeah,
and then
most
there,
do. Yeah.
And then there was the general offering.
Yeah.
And of course, within the general offering, that was the tithe and the offering. Whereas the missionary offering, it was originally meant to go towards any type of missionary work that's being done. Well, throughout the years, as the church got smaller, because when my grandfather got older, there weren't as many members that stayed along, and then there were some who had passed away. So
yeah.
the church had gotten smaller. Well, as the church got smaller, they began to just put the missionary money into the general offering.
So I
asked a question one day. I said, "Where does this money go? And, you know, what is it being used for?" And that's what I was told. So at first, my first reaction was to do away with the missionary offering.
Yeah,
but
which a lot of churches have when money got
right.
Tight.
Right. But what God told me, he stopped me right there and said, "No, this money can be used for something else." And this is where the missionary ministry started, where the missionary offering now goes towards any nonprofit within the North Nashville area, which is the area that we serve in.
Yeah.
Any nonprofit that serves the community, that money, 100% of that money, goes towards helping or aiding those outreaches. And so the very first nonprofit, which right now we're in partnership with, the very first nonprofit that we reached out to, and it's been an awesome partnership, has been Matthew Walker Comprehensive Health Center. And what we found out is Matthew Walker really services some of the poorest people in the Nashville area.
Aww.
And so what we did was we created a fund through the missionary ministry where any patient over the age of 60 who's below the poverty line, if they cannot pay for their co-pays and if they cannot pay for their prescriptions, the missionary ministry kicks in to help them with those needs. So we're helping them. We're helping those in the community who maybe cannot afford to go to the doctor. Instead of them not going because they can't afford it, we want to encourage them to go ahead and go. Be treated. Don't worry about your copay, because if you cannot pay it, that's what the missionary ministry helps with.
Oh, now I know what you mean by Matthew Walker. They have that in Clarksville.
Amen. Amen.
That is awesome. I can't tell you the people. I mean, you know, in Clarksville we have Fort Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there are so many people that use that facility because they don't have the money, and I did for years myself.
Amen.
When I was
Amen.
In college and didn't have the money. Oh, my Lord, that is such a blessing.
And I thank God for it. And as I said, we've been partnering with Matthew Walker now for a little over a year. And we definitely have some other things that we're going to be doing down the pipeline, because I believe it's important that a church, we are part of a community. It's important for us to show people Jesus Christ, but at the same time, we have to make sure that we honestly connect with each other to help solve problems and to help people who are struggling, because we've all struggled. We've all been there. We've all done that. I've had times in my life where I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. And so we have to make sure that the church realizes that not only do we meet each other's spiritual needs, we have to learn how to help each other when we're lacking when it comes to our physical needs too.
Yes. Amen. Well,
and so I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and a couple of the other ministries that we have the Progressive Ladies of King Solomon, which is the women's ministry, and my wife, Connie McDonald, is spearheading that. And actually, the Progressive Ladies was a ministry that my grandmother was a part of when she was the first lady. And that ministry is there to help mentor young women. A lot of the older women of the church is there to help to mentor the younger women to teach them how. That's right, and to teach them how to be women of God, women that God called for such an age as this. And then the last ministry, and then the last ministry that we have right now. Is the Christians for Mental Healing. Now, that ministry is a little bit different because it is a ministry that I am not just hoarding to our church. It is a ministry that I'm hoping to share among churches all over the country, all over the world. It's called Christians for Mental Healing. And what it is a grassroots movement that I've started to help change the language that we use in our churches when it comes to dealing with mental illnesses.
Give us an example.
Okay. One example is we sometimes have a habit of when we're praying for someone or trying to minister to someone who's dealing with a mental health problem, we use words like demon. We use words like there's been times when I've seen words used like crazy or things of that nature. These are really not helpful to a person who is dealing with a mental health problem, because chances are they're not dealing with a demon, but they're dealing with a chemical imbalance of some kind. Just as we have a person who is dealing with diabetes, they're dealing with the diabetes because their pancreas is not working the way that it should. Well, sometimes the same thing happens with our brain. Sometimes there are certain chemicals that our brain is supposed to produce, and it's not doing it for some reason. And so we have to learn how to be mindful how we talk, because honestly, I honestly believe that death and life is in the power of the tongue. We have to be careful the words that we use, the things that we say, because the person who hears them can internalize them, and we can set a person back rather than helping them find their healing.
Well, I think I kind of get what you're saying. Is like I used to work at the Office of Disability Services at my university, and I know we stressed very hard with the staff when they would talk about students to say, you know, to always say my student with disabilities instead of saying my, schizophrenic student. That we always stressed you put it after, because it's a human that is dealing with this issue. It's not the issue that makes a human.
Exactly.
See what I mean? So I think that's what you're trying to say, sort of.
Yeah, that's
it's in the terminology.
Part of,
I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm, that is part of it, and we just have to, because a lot of times if we just call a person crazy, or if we say, oh, well, that person's just crazy, or that person's dangerous because they're schizophrenic. We have to understand, first of all, that most people who deal with issues like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, the majority of them are not dangerous. There's only a certain few that maybe they become violent, but it doesn't happen as often as most people would have them think. And so, so we have to make sure that when we're talking to someone, when we're ministering to someone in our churches, we can't just put them in a box or look at them in a certain way.
Yes.
So so that's what that ministry is for.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. We're going to kind of change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
Right now, the world is in kind of an upheaval over the Paris deal with terrorists and with ISIS and all the different things going on in the earth. Now, this is specifically for the American bride. If you had 5 minutes to talk to the American bride and give them either an encouraging word or a word of prophecy or something to talk about what's coming to America, what do you see as a pastor coming?
Okay, well, as a pastor, and I will say that my gift is not really in the prophetic.
Yeah.
But my gift is more in the encouraging and teaching aspect.
Yeah.
And one thing that I will say, as a pastor, and some things that God has kind of dealt with me with since this has happened, is we really have to be careful as Christians how we handle what has happened. Because right now there's a lot of fear.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes.
There's a lot of fear going on.
Yes.
There's a lot of anger going on. And one thing that I've learned is that fear and anger makes a very bad cocktail. It is really, it causes people to act in an irrational way, causes people to make decisions in an irrational way. And so when you look at what's going on, make sure that you understand that God has not gotten off the throne. God is sitting there. He's not sitting there in heaven scratching his head, saying, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen, or how do I deal with this? No, God understands, and he knows what's going on. He knew what would happen, and he always has a way of escape from every situation. So we have to get to the point where we trust God in the midst of this in the midst of this great tragedy. We have to trust him that he's still in control, he's still on the throne, and that he will get the glory in this. But as we're believing that, we have to continue to walk by faith, not by sight, but walk in the faith of God and also in the character of God. And what I mean by that, when I say walking in the character of God, is that we have to be careful that we all of a sudden don't start painting a broad brush of everyone in these, in these Middle Eastern countries, and we look at them all in the same light. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, there are some people of God, even in the Middle East, that are on their knees praying to Jesus Christ, and we have to make sure that we continue to lift them up. We have to make sure that we continue to do what we're supposed to do as the bride of Christ, because I will say this, that if we reach out in love and if we reach out for the glory of God, you don't know who we can compel to come to Christ that maybe beforehand was just praying to Allah. So we have to make sure that we understand we have to make sure that we understand what times that we're living in right now and what type of effect that the love of Jesus Christ can have at a moment like this.
That's good, because we have to keep our hearts open to forgive even ISIS. You know, and that's a big one to swallow, but we have
Oh, yeah.
Be willing to forgive at all times. Amen. Very good word. Okay, Pastor, we're going to take a quick little commercial break. And if you don't mind when we come back, we would love for you to release the word of God to the bride to preach from the tree of life. Amen.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
All right. One moment.
All right.
Bride, are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Vision Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Okay, Bride, this is Dr. June Knight. We are back tonight with Pastor McDonald. Listen, before you get started, Pastor, I would love to invite all of our listeners to our coming out party. We are having it this Saturday at Walker's Cafe and Grill from 2 to 4 p.m. Chaplain Yolanda Walker is the speaker, and the Not Easily Broken Singers will deliver in worship. We are coming together to thank God for taking the media mountain. Amen. Okay, Pastor, go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you so much, and I really do thank you for this opportunity just to even be able to share this word. This is a word that God gave me actually a few weeks ago, and I was able to deliver it to a room full of pastors who was in a fellowship meeting. And this word is coming from the book of John, the 15th chapter. And I'll begin reading in the first verse. Now I'm reading it from the NIV version, and it reads as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, we're going to stop right there for just a moment. The word that God gave me with this particular text is the word interconnected. It's so important for us to make sure that we remain interconnected. Well, what is interconnected? Merriam-Webster tells us that interconnected is to connect two or more things with one another. So it's not just to be connected one thing to another, but two or more things connected to each other, meaning that there is more than one connection going on, but they all share the same essence. And so what God is telling us here in the book of John, in John the 15th chapter, Jesus is telling us that he is the true vine. And he says that his Father is the gardener. And he explains to us that we are the branches and that we're all connected in some form or fashion.
Yes, Lord.
And the problem I believe that we have in today's time, why we have the wars and the rumors of wars, why we have the violence, why we have the aggression and the anger, why we have so much going on in our world today, it's because we are no longer connected. There's a connection messed up somewhere. There is some place that the connection is not right. I remember having some issues with the internet here at the house. And I had to call Comcast, which is our local cable company, to find out what was going on. And if it's one thing that you know, if you've spent any time on the phone with a cable company saying that you're having a problem with your signal, usually the first thing they tell you to do is to check the connection from the wall to your box. And if that connection is okay, then you have to also check the connection from your box to your television. And they have you doing all this little troubleshooting stuff to make sure that everything is connected, because they say we cannot go any further and we should not go any further unless we first find out if there's a problem with the connection. Because 9 times out of 10, when they get those phone calls, that's the main problem that they run into, is that somewhere something is not connected correctly. And so when I look at that and I look at the issues that we have here on this earth right now, we have these issues because there's a connection problem somewhere. And it's time for us to start troubleshooting what's going on in our world. It's time for us to start troubleshooting what's going on in our communities. It's even time for us to troubleshoot what's going on within our churches, because if we're not connected correctly somewhere, then there's a problem, and we're not going to get the power from God that we need to continue in his word. So, in the book of John, in our text, Jesus is talking about him being the vine. And he says, if you remain, I'm in verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. What he's saying here is this, is that there is nothing that you can do outside of me. If you want power to overcome, I don't care if it's you needing power to overcome addiction, if you're needing power to overcome a relationship issue with your spouse, if you're needing power to overcome sin, you cannot do it unless you trust in God. You can't do it unless you grab hold and be connected to Jesus Christ. So what Jesus is telling us here is that you have to be connected. Why does he call us branches, and why does he call himself the vine? One thing that I like about Jesus is that when he talks to us and when he spoke to us in parables, and he did so because he was trying to teach us a truth, but put it in a way that we can understand it. And for the time that he was living in, everyone understood of vines, and everyone understood fruit because that's where their life was. It was so important for them to have fruit and to be able to bear fruit, and that's how they were able to feed each other, to feed themselves, because that was such a very important part of their life. And so he's using this to explain to us that there must be a connection there. Okay, so he calls himself the vine, which we could say in today's time, we could say that he's the branch, or excuse me, not the branch, but what is connected, the vine that is connected to the roots, and then we are the branches that come out from him, but we all grow through the same power. We all have what we have through the same power. And then he says that we must bear much fruit. You cannot bear fruit if you're not connected. If you're disconnected from God, you cannot bear
fruit.
Oh,
now, amen.
Now, what is fruit? Fruit is that thing that we produce, okay? That thing that we produce that is not for ourselves, but is for someone else to be able to have. It's for to be able to bring nourishment to someone else's life. Because, you know, an apple tree does not bear apples for the sake of itself. An apple tree bears apples so that someone who may be walking by, who may be hungry, who may be in need of some nourishment, if that tree is bearing apples, then it is for the person, amen, who is outside of the tree. So we must understand, for us to be connected, we also have to have a purpose, and our purpose is to bear fruit.
Wow, that is profound.
In the book of Genesis, God tells man after he creates us to be fruitful and multiply. Now, we all understand we understand, and we've all probably looked at that particular scripture in a certain way that we're saying, oh, fruitful and multiply, then God must be talking about man and woman getting together and making a baby. Okay, that may be one aspect of it. But at the same time, we also have to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, that if God put us here to be his image and his likeness, that means that we are here to be a representative of God on this earth. And so part of what we are to do as a people is to not just be fruitful and multiply on a sexual way of looking at it, but also on a spiritual way of looking at it. We must bear fruit by causing others who are hungry, causing others who are in need, causing others who are by themselves and alone, or maybe they're separated from God. It is for us to bring them back from the brink of death into the fold, into his marvelous light. That's how we bear fruit. We bear fruit and we multiply by multiplying people into the kingdom of God, by bearing fruit that will help feed this world, not physical food, but the spiritual food that we all need to survive. So, going back to our text, Jesus is still talking to us and telling us that we must bear fruit and that apart from him we can't do anything. But then he tells us in verse 6 that we have to remain in him. Why does he say remain? Because a lot of us maybe have started out really rooted and grounded in God, but somewhere along the lines, life got a hold of us and we allowed ourselves to be distracted. We allowed ourselves to be distracted from what God wants for us, because now we're seeing things that we want for ourselves. And when we do stuff like that, when we fall to that, when we find ourselves being tempted in that way, we may sometimes find ourselves in sin. And then when we find ourselves in sin, we find ourselves disconnected from God. That's a scary place to be. It's a scary place to be disconnected from the one who is the source of all life. It's a scary place to be in a place where you're disconnected from the one who not only created you, but who gave you life and who gave you purpose. When you're disconnected from God, you're lost. When you're disconnected from God, you're like a branch that has broken off from the tree, no longer connected to the source of life, and so now all it can do is wither and die. Have you ever seen a branch disconnected from a tree and still bear fruit? It can't do it. It can't do it because it has to be connected to God. It has to be connected to the life-giving essence of who God is.
Yes.
Then he says, not only should you remain in me, but you must remain in me and let my words remain in you. Because if my words remain in you, then you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, here's what I like about this particular part in verse 7 is that he's telling us that you can't just sit here and just speak it or name it and claim it and blab it and grab it if you're not connected. He's saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. In other words, you can't just ask and think that it's going to be done, but you're not connected to God. If you're disconnected, then you've disconnected yourself from power. You've disconnected yourself from the glory of God. You've disconnected yourself from that which allows you and strengthens you to bear much fruit. And he says that once you bear this fruit, you show yourselves to be my disciples. Well, what is this fruit? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. In verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. What he's saying here is this: the fruit that other people need to survive, the fruit that other people need for nourishment is the love of God. And if we are to be connected to God, we must also be connected to one another. This is why this message is being called or is called interconnected. Because if you remember what I said at the beginning, is that the very definition of being interconnected is when you're connecting two or more things to one another. In other words, it's not enough for you to be connected to God. It's not enough for you to be religious and for you to have a good relationship with God. Because God himself says, Jesus himself says, how can you say that you love God whom you do not see, but you don't love your neighbor whom you see every day? That means God is telling us that it is a package deal. What do I mean by package deal? Let me stop right there for just a moment. Because package deal means something to me, and I'm just going to explain to you in this way. My wife, I love my wife. We've been together now for 21 years, and she's my first, my only wife, never been married before, and with the Lord's help, never be married again. But one thing, when me and my wife got together, she had two children. She has two children. And so when we started dating and we got serious, she had to make it plain to me that, look, if you want to be with me, you have to also accept my two children because it's a package deal. You can't say that you love me as your wife, but you hate my children. Because if you hate my children, then guess what? You hate me too. And the love that I have for my children, I'm always going to protect them. I'm always going to be there for them. And I can't be with someone who does not love them as much as they love me. And so when I'm talking about the interconnectedness that we should have, not only with God, we should also have it with God's people, is because God wants us to understand that if we were made in his image and his likeness, that if we are the representatives of God on this earth, it is imperative for us to be connected with one another as we are also connected with him. Because it is once that we have this connection, everything is working the way it should. We won't have as much hatred on this earth. We won't have as much violence on this earth. We won't have as much hunger on this earth. We won't have as much homelessness upon this earth. But we will be interconnected and working together as a free-flowing unit to make sure that God's kingdom comes back to this earth. Now, another thing that I have to make sure that I let us understand is this, is that there's power in unity. Where two or three are gathered in his name, the Bible tells us he's there in the midst. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you by your Father who is in heaven. Why? Because of the power of agreement, because of the power of unity. Look at what happened back in the Old Testament when the people decided that they were going to build a tower. They called it the Tower of Babel. And they decided they were going to build this tower. They were going to build it up. And God looked down from heaven and he said, look at this. If we don't confuse their language, there is nothing impossible for them. That just shows us right there how powerful unity is. But the problem is, and the reason why God had to confuse the languages, is because we might have been connected to each other at that time, but we were not properly connected to God. So we was destined to malfunction as a people because we were not connected to God. So God had to confound the languages. But now we fast forward all the way up until Jesus comes on the scene, and then he gives his life for us so that we might have a right to the tree of life. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and came upon us all, and we all began to speak in different tongues and in languages, God was reconnecting not only each other, but he was connecting us back to himself. Interconnection is the word that God has given me because it is the answer to our issues. We must make sure that we understand that God wants us not only to be connected to him, not only to love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, but we must also learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because Jesus was just like that. When he came upon this earth, when he walked on this earth, he walked as a man, but he was also God. But what he showed us how to love God. He showed us how to serve God. He was an example of how to be a man of God, of how to give your life for the sake of the gospel, but at the same time, give your life for the sake of your neighbor. It is this interconnection that we need for such a time as this. It is this interconnection that we need for God to show up and show out in our situations and in our circumstances. And you may ask yourself, well, you know, I feel like I'm pretty connected. I feel like I'm pretty connected to my neighbor. Amen. I love people who love me. Well, that's easy to do. It's easy to love someone who loves you. It's easy to love someone who's nice to you. It's easy to be nice to someone who can pay you back. But when was the last time you decided to bless someone just because? When was the last time you decided to be a blessing just because? Because you wanted to see God move in their life, because you wanted to see that person blessed. When we learn how to put what we want out of the equation, then we can be selfless, give to others, and truly show this love of God that he's talking about. Jesus wants us to bear much fruit. But I'm going to tell you right now, we can't bear fruit if we don't love somebody. We can't bear fruit if we don't love our neighbor. We can't bear fruit even if we don't love our enemies.
Yes.
Because if we love our friends, anybody can do that. But it takes a special kind of faith. Hallelujah. It takes a special kind of love. It takes a special kind of agape love, that love that doesn't that doesn't see faults, that looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. It is that kind of love that's going to change this world. It is that kind of love that's going to feed the hungry soul. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there are people out here who are doing all manner of evil because their souls are starving. They're doing all manner of evil and all manner of murder because their souls are starving. I'm here to tell you we need to preach the gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel that feeds those who are in need, not just physical need, but spiritual need. We want people to understand that there's a better way to live. We want people to understand that there is a better way to walk, that there is a better way to be, and that God will be glorified if we walk in this way. And the lives of so many will be changed the moment that we realize that we must love one another. Hallelujah. I love God. Because he first loved me.
Yes.
But I love God also because I'm connected to him. And he has taught me how to be connected to others.
Now, I would love for you, if you could kind of go back a little bit
ma'am.
In your sermon. When you were talking about the Tower of Babel, what do you mean by the interconnected there? I think I missed something that was really important there.
When it comes to the Tower of Babel, the point I was making is there was a connection there, but there was no interconnection.
Oh, okay.
See, the connection was only with one another.
Gotcha.
The people were connected to each other. And that's how they were able to build the tower. That's how they were able to get God to stand up and take notice and say there's nothing impossible for them. But the problem was, it's one thing to be connected to one another, but if God is not in the midst of the situation, then it's going to be disastrous. It's just like a marriage. It's, you know, there's a lot of people who are married, but if you don't have God in the midst of your marriage, if you don't have God as part of that marriage, then guess what? It's doomed from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that there is an interconnection. There's even an interconnection when it comes to our marriages.
Oh, my God, guess what just come to my spirit?
What's that?
About the Tower of Babel and the difference of, now they were connected as far as they was together as a unit,
but
they were not interconnected. And guess what just come to my spirit? This is going to blow your mind.
What's that?
In the human body, we are connected. We have all of our parts, all of our organs, the skin, the bones, the blood, and all that. But we are actually interconnected by the cross. What
Come
is that thing called in our body that is in the shape of a cross? It starts with an L.
Okay.
And it's a tissue that connects all of our parts together, but it's actually in the shape of a cross. Science, they believe that is, like prophetic. That it's the cross that actually holds us together. It's
Amen.
What makes the interconnection.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
What you're saying about the Tower of Babel is that it was not in, it was connected as far as God saw that all of them was able to talk, but they were not interconnected to be able to really.
To really do what. Yeah, right, to really do what God wanted, because what they were doing it for selfish reasons. They were doing it out outside of the will of God. They was doing it outside of what God wanted for them. And so, yeah, they were able to accomplish much, but it was for nothing. You know, you can get a group of people together all day to accomplish a lot of things. But in the end, what has it really done? Is it bearing any fruit? You can accomplish a lot of things, but the end result is it must bear fruit. I don't care how many trees you plant. If you plant 100 trees and none of them bear fruit, then you have wasted your time. And that's what the interconnection is. We can't just be connected to each other. We have to also be connected to God. But on the flip side, we can't just be connected to God, but we must also be connected with each other. Like the example I use with my wife, it's a package deal. With the wife and the children, it's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. My wife wasn't going to let me put a ring on her finger if I was not going to accept her children as mine. Interconnected. That's what God is looking for in these last and evil days. We have to stand strong and continue to be connected to one another, connected with each other in a real and a holy way, so that when we decide to move as a unit, we can do so to the glory of God and get some real changes done.
Yes, amen. Now, listen, I found what that is, the cross.
Okay.
It's called laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, and it's defined by Webster's Medical Dictionary as a glycoprotein that is a component of connective tissue, basement membrane, and that promotes cell adhesion. In other words, looking at laminin as a kind of glue isn't far from the truth. It holds all of our body together.
Wow.
That's that interconnection. And I
also heard
a revivalist give this type of definition, which goes along with what you're saying, is the difference between, what is that word? Assembly, okay? The difference in assembly and us just coming together. When we assemble together, it's like putting car pieces together. It's
That's
all
right.
for the same purpose. It's
That's
of the
right.
same mind, same one accord. That's the deal of assembly. That's what you're saying. And with the laminates, all of us coming together with the same purpose and same heart and
That's
connecting.
Right.
We're all connected to the vine. We're all his branches on one big old tree.
That's right.
And
That's right.
Oh, your sermon is a blessing. Thank you so much. Now, listen.
Thank you.
We ask that the bride across the earth come together in agreement with us to pray over all of our guests because we believe that God brings them on the broadcast to highlight their life and their ministry because promotion is coming. We believe that God wrote our book before time, and he has a designed specific mission for each one of us on earth. And if we allow God to take that pen and to finish that book, then he paints the most beautiful picture to mankind of another revelation of who he is. So God has designed your life to be highlighted right now for such a time as this. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I thank you for it.
Well, let's pray. Bride, if you would just bow your head and come together in agreement with me. We are going to pray tonight for Pastor McDonald and his wife, Miss Connie. Lord, we just come before your holy presence tonight, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word that was released tonight from the tree of life. You are the vine and we are the branches. And for speaking that through Pastor McDonald tonight, we thank you, Lord, for his life, for everything that he has been through, Lord, all of the ups and downs and the trials, Lord, and the valleys and the pits and bringing him up on the mountaintops, Lord, and that he held in there and that he is still standing, Lord, him and his wife, and he's able to testify of how much he loves his wife and how they're working together in the ministry, Lord, and what a testimony that is to the bride, Lord, in the times that we're living in and in the struggles that we're having today with relationships, Lord. We just thank you for that. So we ask, as the bride, Lord, that you bind their marriage closer together than they have ever had, Lord. Let it be supernatural agape love, where it would just be overflowing and going into the ecstasy type of love, Lord, that it would just be overwhelming of the love between them too, Lord. We thank you for healing flowing in all the family members, Lord, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. We thank you for all the provision coming, everything that they're going to need to accomplish the mission that you have called them to do, Lord. As the bride, we come together in agreement that all provision be provided to them, all tools, all strategies from heaven to be provided to them. We ask you, God, to send forth a host of angels to encamp about their church, to encamp about their family members, Lord, to protect them, Lord, because we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood. We know that our battle is with the principalities and the powers of the air. So the bride comes together in agreement, and we tell Satan, you stand off. You back down off of this family and off of their mission, because their mission will come to pass in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for supernatural favor. Favor over him in Nashville. Favor over him with Walker's medical clinic. Favor to increase the money, that as he works and raises money for that ministry, that it will be able to help more people, God. And give him all of his heart's desires, him and his wife, Lord. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for giving him favor with government in Nashville, Lord, giving him favor with government leaders, giving him favor with other pastors, Lord, favor with ministries on his street, Lord, unity in Nashville, Lord. We claim unity. We speak it into the atmosphere that unity is in Nashville. We thank you, God, that Nashville is Worship City. We are claiming that, changing it from Music City to Worship City, Lord, so that Nashville will achieve the destiny that you have lined up for her. And we're coming together in agreement that every word that he speaks will be the power that breaks and shifts the atmosphere for your glory, Lord, because it's all about what you want to do on this earth. And, Lord, I want to pray for his church. His grandfather, Lord, that had the vision over that church, Lord, he raised up a son. He raised him up, Lord, to take that vision on. He has picked up the mantle of his grandfather, Lord. And I pray that Pastor McDonald will give his grandfather such great, not pride, but great knowing that he has fulfilled the destiny that his grandfather, he would actually go above and beyond what his grandfather ever thought that ministry could be, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that he would be and do everything that his grandfather wanted plus more. And we thank you for the vision of that church and all of the needs that that church has, Lord, repairs. Send people to help repair the church, Lord, people that will help remodel the church, people that will be helping hands. Send them more laborers, Lord, people that will help in the ministry, people that will be intercessors. They need more intercessors, Lord. Send them people that will undergird them as pastors, Lord, people that will undergird the city, Lord, that understands the battle of prayer and that we have to take it through prayer in the spirit realm before we ever move in the natural, God. And
yes,
so we just thank you for sending people to help him hold up his arms, hold up his wife's arms, Lord. And we just thank you as the bride, Lord, for everything. We're expecting great things out of this ministry, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to get to know him a little bit tonight, Lord, him and his wife. And we thank you and give you praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Bride,
amen.
I've got to tell you that his wife, Connie, wrote a book. And what's her book called?
Her book is called Beaten But Not Defeated.
Beaten But Not Defeated. Now, can you tell them how they can purchase that book?
Yes. Actually, the best way they can purchase it now, as of today, it became available on Amazon and Kindle. If you go to Amazon.com, you can pick it up there. Or if you have a Kindle, you can download it to your Kindle. We have maybe a few of the hard copies left because we're getting ready to do the actual second edition of it.
Yeah.
But the ones that we have left of the first, we can definitely get that to you. You can contact us. As a matter of fact, you can contact me. Just send it to my email, Mont McDonald. That's M-O-N-T. MCDONALD 333@gmail.com.
Now tell them the name of your church's website.
Oh, yeah. The church's website is www.KingSolomonBaptistChurch.net.
Now, you know what I was thinking earlier? This is funny. Did you realize that you merged Solomon with your Abraham?
Oh, yeah.
You merged Abraham and Solomon into one church.
That's right.
Well, sir, we would be honored if you would pray for our ministry and pray for the bride before we get off here, sir. And also, I feel led to ask you to pray for people that have blended marriages.
Okay.
If you don't mind praying for that.
Amen. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we first of all want to thank you. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us.
Yes,
we thank you, Lord God, that you have brought us this far, Lord God, that we may continue to learn more of you, to learn more from you.
Yes.
And Lord, give us the mindset, Lord God, to take each and every opportunity as a learning experience because you're leading us and you're guiding us in every step of the way of life. We thank you, Lord God. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you continue to bless this ministry. Bless this ministry, that you take it into places that you never thought that it could go, that we never thought that it can get to, Lord God, that we're able, that they're able to reach people in the most remote parts of the world, Lord God, to touch someone who is in need of a word, who is in need of encouragement, Lord God. I'm praying right now that this ministry touches them. And I thank you, Lord God, for Pastor June, Lord God. I thank you so much for what you're doing in her life, and I'm asking that you give her everything that she stands in need of right now. We thank you, Lord God, that you are going to provide resources, Lord God. Lord God, resources for every step, every step of the way. For we know that she's following you, Lord God. She's following you and leading and being led by you. So we thank you, Lord God, for her giving up her life to live your life.
Yes.
Thank you so much, God, and I'm asking that you dispatch ministering angels to encamp around and to keep her, Lord God, that we stand against the enemy and we stand against everything that he tries to do to stop and block this ministry.
Yes.
We know, Lord God, that you're able, Lord God, to keep us and to cause us to push past, Lord God, where we are right now. So I'm thanking you, Lord God, for that next level. I'm thanking you that you're taking her to that next level and that she'll look back one day and say, look how far God has brought me.
Yes.
I'm also, Lord God, praying right now for those who are in blended marriages, Lord God, that you right now would bless those who are dealing with certain issues in their marriage that other marriages don't have to worry about, that other marriages don't have to deal with. It takes a special kind of love, Lord God, to bring together a blended marriage. But we know, Lord God, that it can be done and it has been done. I thank you so much, Lord God, that you've blessed my life and that you've blessed my marriage.
Yes,
and I'm asking, Lord God, for that anointing and for that same blessing to flow upon each and every one, Lord God, who is in a blended marriage, and to not let them allow the outside voices and the outside opinions and the outside words of people who don't live in that house, who don't deal in that relationship, do not let that be an influence on their marriage, Lord God. I'm asking, Lord God, that you strengthen them towards each other, towards one another, Lord God. And we thank you for the spirit of adoption, Lord God, that there may be those who are children that have not met their father, or maybe they haven't seen their father in years, but God has brought someone, some man into their life that will love them, if not as much, more than what their father loved them, Lord God, and that they will show them the love of God. They will show them and introduce them to God. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you be in those households, strengthen that family. You can do it, and I know you will do it because you've done it for me. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, bless each and every family who's listening right now, even those who may not be in a blended marriage, just every marriage. I'm wanting that anointing of interconnectedness to even flow in their lives, Lord God. Strengthen marriages all over this world for the foundation, Lord God. The foundation of this world is the family.
Yes.
Strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for being
thank
with
you.
Us. Listen, I'm about to play a song that was written at the Foundry in downtown Nashville. And it was written by some of their worship students. It's such a beautiful song called God, You're Beautiful. Pastor, you have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. see your beauty on the cross, removing my hidden dross. When I behold such sacrifice, I can't help but see. God, you're so beautiful. I can't help but see. Oh, ooh. My God, you're so beautiful to me. I can't help but see, and I can see you're everything I've ever hoped for. You're everything.
Okay, Bride, this is Dr. June. Y'all have a wonderful evening.